Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurra. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Are you able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? That's a serious question, isn't it? I mean, you guys sang that so well this morning. I'm going to tell you, that is one whale of a question. Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamer answered, to the death we follow thee. Whew. Man, that's giving it all, isn't it? Which is really what we're talking about in our sermon this morning. What all of that means and how to do that. I invite you to turn in our scripture. We've got two great passages of scripture this morning. I want you to be able to read along, mark in your Bible if you brought your own Bibles, and I hope you're doing that. These are passages to highlight and underline and circle. The first one is from Paul's letter to the people in the church at Philippi, Philippians. If you've been looking for Philippians 12, when you find that, let me know, will you? Because Philippians 12 doesn't exist. It only goes through four chapters, so we got a little mix up there. It's Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. I'm going to tell you, this is a great passage of Scripture. It's all highlighted and marked and circled and bracketed in my Bible. This is what Paul said. Hear this, God's word for us this morning. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me His own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then turn to our gospel lesson for this morning. This is a great story. I remember this story as a child. We studied this story in Vacation Bible School one year, I remember. In the second chapter, the Gospel of Mark, hear this wonderful story again this morning. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. This is Jesus. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed, this is great, they removed the roof. They removed the roof above him. And when they made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak this? It's blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question thus in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet and go home." And he rose
and immediately took up the pallet and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." The word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we pray? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Do you see what Paul's saying in our scripture lesson this morning? Do you see what he's saying to those people in the church at Philippi? Paul is saying that Jesus is the most important thing in his life. That's what he's saying to those people in the church of Philippi. He's wanting them to know that Jesus is the most important thing in his life. And so he says, forgetting what lies behind. That's an important word, isn't it? Forgetting what lies behind. Aren't there times for us when it's important to put the past behind us? Aren't there some times when it's important for us to understand that we can no longer rely on the past? Aren't there times when and listen, this is hard. This is hard work to do this. There's some of you that have been through some hard times. It takes a long time to be able to put the past behind you. Sometimes you can never put the past behind you completely. But what Paul's reminding us of is that there are times when it's important to put the past behind us so that we can move into the new day and the new life that exists in the future. And that's exactly what he says in our lesson this morning. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. I love the words that he uses. Forgetting, putting the past behind so that I can straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize. And then he tells us what the goal and the prize is all about. It's his relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is the most important thing in his life. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see what he's saying? Paul's telling those people in the church at Philippi, there's nothing more important in all of life to me. This matters. This matters more to me than anything else. Jesus is the most important thing in my life. Jesus was the most important thing for the Apostle Paul. I think that's the reason why he began this section of his letter with these words. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Perfect in that day didn't mean what it means in our vernacular today, in our world today. Today it means without fault, without failure, not making any mistakes. Perfect didn't mean that in that day. Perfect meant complete, total loyalty. What Paul is saying is, I'm not at that place yet. I haven't gotten there yet. Jesus is the most important thing in my life, but there's still work to be done, and I've not gotten there yet. But he said, listen, I want to tell you something. I'm heading in that direction. I'm moving in that direction. I'm going to get there. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. And then these words, and these are worth underlining in your Bible right here. These words right here are worth underlining in this story. So I press on because Christ has made me his own. Gee whiz. You see what Paul's saying? He said, look, there's nothing more important to me in all of my life than my relationship with Jesus, because Jesus is the most important thing in my life. And the reason is because Jesus has made me his own. That's amazing. You look, so Paul said, Jesus has made me his own. Paul's reminding these people in the church at Philippi, Jesus died for me. He made me his own. Here's the good news for us this morning. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. Jesus made you his own. Jesus has made me his own. Don't just see this as some generic, some big something. Yes, yes, yes. For God so loved the world, It's as big as the world, but it's as specific and individual as you and me. Paul is reminding us this morning, listen, Jesus has made you his own. He's claimed you. And how did he do that? He died for you. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. Now here's the deal. How do we respond to that? How do we live in the light of the knowledge of that truth that Jesus has claimed us, went all the way to the cross for you and me? How do we live in the knowledge of that? Well, here's what Paul said. Paul said, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. So therefore, he said, listen, I can't sit still. I can't stay where I am. Because here's what Paul knew. This is what I believe. What Paul knew is that if you stand still, you start to go back. Because there is no standing still. Are you with me? You're either moving. Listen, that's true. There are a lot of you that know a whole lot more about business than I know about business. But you know this about business. You're either moving forward or you're going backwards. You don't stand still very long. It's true in the sports world. You're either moving forward or you're going back. And it's true in church and in our faith experience. We're either moving forward or we're going backwards. And Paul said, listen, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. And because he's the most important thing in my life, I'm going to move forward. Here's the question for us this morning. And it's a serious question. I want you to hear it. I want you to pay attention to it. I want you to spend some time dealing with it. What's the most important thing in your life? And don't answer right now because we're in church and I know what you're going to say. Same thing I'm going to say. I want you to take it home with you. What's the most important thing in your life? See, what Paul said is Jesus is the most important thing in my life. Here's the reason why that question is so incredibly important. It's so important because whatever is most important in our life influences us. Whatever that is. Whatever is most important in our life is the driving force in our life. And it influences, whatever is most important influences everything else in our life. Paul says, Jesus for him, so it influenced everything that he did in life. So the question is, what's most important for us? See, if, for example, if the most important thing in your life and in my life is making more money, let's just use that as an example. And listen, there's nothing wrong with making more money. There's nothing wrong with that. I hope you make a lot of money and give a tenth of it to the church to do our ministry. See, I want you to make as much as you can. There's nothing wrong with making a lot of money unless it becomes the most important thing in your life. Can we be honest? Have I been here with you long enough to be honest? I mean, like, really honest? If we're really honest, you know what's the most important thing for a lot of people in our culture today? Making more money. If we can be brutally honest, you know what's the most important thing for a lot of people that call themselves Christian? Making more money. And it influences everything that they do because it's the most important thing in their life. Everything revolves around that. Listen, as a pastor, I've counseled countless number of people who are miserable in their jobs. Miserable. You know why they stay there? Because they're making more money. Because it's the most important thing in their life. Because whatever's most important influences everything that we do. If it's making more money, it influences the decisions we make. It influences where we spend our time. It influences the people we run around with. It influences our relationship. And it influences what we do with the financial resources that God has given to us and given us the opportunity, the ability to make. Are you with me? So what's most important? What's most important? Listen, that's an important question. But if it's Jesus, if Jesus is really most important, it's going to influence. That's going to influence everything you and I do. It's going to influence where we spend our time. If Jesus is really most important, it's going to influence where we spend our time and how we spend our time. You can't live. I've yet to find somebody that can preach, that can show me. You can't live your life with Jesus as the most important thing in your life and not spend time in this, serious time in this. You can't do it. If Jesus is the most important thing in your life, you're going to want to know as much about this as you possibly can. If Jesus is the most important thing in your life, it's going to redirect the way who you spend your time with. It's going to redirect where you spend your time in service to others. If Jesus is the most important thing in our life, it's going to redirect where it is and how it is that we use the financial resources that God has given to us. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? Listen, let me tell you something about this sermon. I should have warned you at the beginning, shouldn't I? This is not one of those sermons that we like to hear. It's one of those sermons that we need to hear. Are you with me? It's just one of those that we need to hear. But it's one of those that can give us joy. It's one of those that give us the most joy in life. Here's what Paul said. He said, Jesus is the most important thing in my life because he's made me his own. He died for me. It changes everything about me and the way that I see life, the way that I live my life. So therefore, Paul said, I got to keep moving forward. My question for us is that where we're going as a church? Are we going forward? If Jesus is the most important thing in our life, then we're going to want to keep moving forward in every way that we can, in our learning, in our experience. We're going to keep moving forward in the people that we serve and in our mission ministry. We want to keep moving forward in every avenue in the life of our church. My question today is, how do we do that? How do we, in this wonderful church, keep moving forward? I think our gospel lesson helps us answer that question. The first thing that's going to take, if we're going to keep moving forward, is we have to want to. We've got to have a desire to move forward. You remember Paul. The reason Paul was so intent on straining forward, on pressing forward, is he had this desire to be closer in his walk with Christ. So he wanted to. It drove everything in his life. So here's the question. Do we want to? How do we move forward? We have to have a desire. We have to want to move forward. Another way of asking the question is, what's our motivation? You see, for Paul, the motivation of his life was Jesus. And it motivated everything that he did. So what motivates us in our life? What motivates us in this church? Is it Jesus or is it something else? It's football season. Several years ago, I had this old story in my files, it's an Alabama story. I thought, gee whiz, after yesterday, how in the world could I tell an Alabama story? But it's a story about Coach Paul Bear Bryant. It was a game Alabama was playing years ago. And it was one of those close games, important games, nip and tuck, back and forth. Alabama had finally taken the lead at the end of the game, and all they had to do, was run out the clock. Problem was, is if they didn't get another first down, they were gonna have to turn the ball over, but there wasn't going to be a lot of time. At that moment in the game, their first-string quarterback got hurt. Bear Bryant went over to his second string, his backup quarterback. He put his arm around him. He said, look, son, all we got to do is run as much clock as we possibly can so when we give the ball up, they don't have much time. Here's what I want you to do. First snap, I want you to get the ball. I want you to roll out to your left. Just roll out to your left. Use as much clock as you can. Second snap, I want you to take the ball. I want you to roll out to your right. I want you to just eat up as much clock as you can. Third snap, I want you to roll out back to your left. If we get a first down, that's fine. If we don't, we'll kick it. Our defense will hold because we're not giving them much time. You got it. Guy said, yeah, got it. Ran out on the field. First snap, rolled out to his left, just like Coach Bryant had said. Second snap, rolled out to his right. As he's rolling out to his right, he sees a wide receiver break open in the middle of the field. There's not a defender within 20 yards. All he's got to do is make this easy pass and catch. They got a first down. Then they start kneeling and run out the clock. The moment got the best of him. He reared back to throw. Just as he did, the defensive end for the other team hit him in the back. Ball went straight up in the air. Defensive back for the other team intercepted. He was one of the fastest players in the nation. Started running for a touchdown. Somehow, some way, miraculously, this quarterback got to his feet and ran him down right before he scored. And if not for a valiant effort from Alabama's defense, they would have lost that game. At the end of the game, the coaches are meeting at the 50-yard line. The opposing coach comes up to Bear Bryant. He said, man, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how in the world your player caught my my guy. My guy's one of the fastest players in the nation. Coach Bryant looked at him, spoke up in that old deep, gravelly voice of his, and he said, it was easy. Your player was running for a touchdown. My guy was running for his life. Motivation makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? What motivates you? And what I'm asking this morning is, does Jesus motivate you in your individual life and the decisions that you make? Or is it something else? And be honest about it. Does Jesus motivate us as a church in the decisions that we make? Or is it something else? If we're going to move forward, we've got to want to. Look at these guys in our gospel lesson this morning. There are these four guys. You remember the story? There are these four guys over here, and there's this one guy over here, and the one guy over here is paralyzed. And these four guys took this one guy, and they took him to do what? To see Jesus. When they get there, what do they see? There's so many people crowded around the house and around the doorway of the house and the front yard of the house, they can't get in. I mean, they're like shoulder to shoulder. They can't get in there. Well, what would you do? Well, common sense would say, let's come back another time. Or, you know, I mean, there's too many people there. We just can't get in. But these guys wouldn't take no for an answer. What did they do? They climbed up. These four guys took this one guy, climbed up on top of the roof with him, cut a hole in the roof, lowered him down through that hole in the roof to the very feet of Jesus. Now, here's my question. Why would they do that? Why did they do that? It's because they had this want to. They had this desire. They were motivated by the love of Christ to get this guy in to see Jesus. Why? Because they believed deep down in their heart of hearts that Jesus could change this guy's life. That's why. They believed Jesus was the most important thing in life. They believed that Jesus makes all the difference. And I'm asking you this morning, I'm asking us this morning, do we feel that way about Jesus? Now, if we don't, then we're wasting our time. But if we do, it will influence every single thing that we do. How do we grow forward in the life of this congregation? How do we go forward? I haven't been able to talk to all of you. I've talked to some of you. And this is what every person I've talked to has told me. They've said, Cliff, we want to move forward. We want to go forward. What's it going to take for us to go forward? Got to want to. Let me tell you something. If you guys don't want to, then ain't nobody can help us. Are you with me? Do you hear that? If you don't want to, there's nobody that can help us. But if you want to, there's nobody that can stop us if we are grounded, rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. If He's the motivation behind everything that we do, what's it going to take? Got to want to. Here's the second thing. It's going to take all of us coming together. It's going to take everybody coming together. This is an interesting part of this gospel story. I read this story for years. It was one of my favorites as a child growing up. But I didn't see this until just a few years ago. I was reading it and it hit me. There were these four guys, and then there's this one guy that's paralyzed. How did they get this one guy who was paralyzed to see Jesus? It took all four of them coming together. They get there, the doorway's blocked, too many people, take him up on the roof, cut a hole, drop him down through that hole to the feet of Jesus. They all had to come together to make that happen. Think about it. What would have happened if one of them had said, hey, guys, I'm too busy. You know, I got a lot going on. What would have happened if somebody else had said, hey, look, there's a ball game today. You know, I got to go to the ball game. What if another one had said, hey, listen, you know what? I don't even think we're at the right house. I think we need to be over here at another house. You look up, what's going to happen? They're not going to get the guy in. How did that happen? It took all of them coming together. Our faith experience is a community experience. It's the way God created it. It's all He created us to be in community with each other, to work together with each other. It takes all of us. This is one of my favorite times of the year because it's football season. Basketball season is about to begin. And World Series is right upon us. Back in the early 60s, the New York Mets had the worst team in baseball. You remember those guys? In 1962, the New York Mets lost 120 games. Can you believe that? That's a lot of losing right there. They lost 120 games out of 162. They won 42, they lost 120, they set a major league record. On the last game of the season, their manager, the legendary Casey Stengel, walked in the clubhouse and he said these words, and I quote, "Don't worry about it, guys, it was a team effort all the way." And that's the way it is. It always is. If we don't move forward in this church, it'll be because it's a team effort. If we move forward, it'll be because it's a team effort. If we succeed, it'll be a team effort. If we fail, it'll be a team effort. Because that's the way it works in the life of the church. It's everybody coming together. Let me tell you, in a church this size, here's the temptation. The temptation is for somebody to say, they don't need me. That they don't need me to serve. They don't need me to be there. They don't. If I'm not there, they're not going to miss it. Listen, I want to tell you something. I've got to say this morning, okay? We need all hands on deck in this church. Our presence is not just for you. Your presence in this church is not just for you. It's for what others see when they come here, because our presence is a witness. You know what our presence is saying? It's saying Jesus is the most important thing in my life. Wednesday night, you need to be here because it's for you, but you need to be here because it's a witness for other people to see, hey, those people take the study of the Scriptures seriously and important. It's important to them. Are you with me? It's a community effort. It takes all of us. And there are times when people say, oh, they don't need me. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We need every single person here saying, you know what? Jesus is the most important thing in my life. We're at a pledge campaign. So oftentimes people say, well, they don't need me. Those big money people, they'll take care of all of it. Well, let me tell you, that ain't the way it works. We need everybody. We need everybody in the life of this church. Everybody in the life of this church. We need everybody doing as much as you can do and praying about that, because if we're going to go move forward, it's going to take every single one of us. Do you want to go forward? You guys want to move forward? What's it going to take? Got to want to. Got to come together in community, all of us. Here's the last thing. We got to have a commitment that is rooted in our faith in Christ. It's going to take a commitment that's rooted in our faith. And Jesus Christ is the most important thing in our life. See, we've come full circle. Remember, that's what Paul said. Paul said, Jesus is the most important thing in my life. What's the most important thing in your life? We're going to move forward. It takes a commitment that's rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ. We see that in our lesson this morning. Got the four guys, remember? They bring the guy to see Jesus, cut the hole in the roof, drop the pallet down at the feet of Jesus. What did Jesus say when they dropped that pallet down at his feet? It's in verse 5. I love this verse. It's one to mark, and there's three words to circle. They're all important. This is what Jesus said. And when Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith? Well, that's the first word. Their faith. Not the faith of the guy that was paralyzed. No, it was the faith of the community. It was the faith of these other four guys. When he saw their faith, what did he see? Their faith, their belief in him, their acknowledgement that Jesus was the most important thing in life and that Jesus could make a difference in this guy's life. But they saw that faith. That's just really important to me. I've read over this many times and didn't see that word. He saw their faith. In other words, it wasn't just words that they were speaking. These guys didn't go to the paralyzed man and say, hey, listen, we believe in Jesus. We think he could help you. If you just had enough faith, maybe he'd help you too. So it's all about faith. No, that's not what they did. What did they do? They had faith that Jesus would change his life. So what did they do? They did something. They put their faith in action. Unfortunately, or fortunately, you're going to have to make up your mind which it is, fortunate or unfortunate. You get me at the age of 61. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but here's what's good about it as I see it. It's this being willing to be forthright and open about what I've seen and what I've heard through my ministry. And one of the things I've seen and one of the things I've heard for so many years is when it comes to this time of the year, people will say, well, we just got to have faith. Listen, it's faith in action. Are you with me? It's faith in action. We can talk about you. If all we do is talk about Jesus and we don't put it into action, all that is talk. This is the time to put it in action and to make a difference. Jesus saw their faith. He saw it because it was alive. They lived it out. This is a great church. This is a great church. But if we want to move forward, here's what it's going to take. You guys got to want to. I believe you do. I really do believe you do. But you got to want it. Because if you don't want it, I can't lead you. Are you with me? Does that make sense? You got to want it. Then we've got to come together. Everybody together. We're all rowing in the same direction. This is what we're going to do. And here's the last thing. It's the most important. We've got to have a commitment that is rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ as the absolute most important thing in our life. There you go. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.